In evaluating today and what we should do today, there were two compelling things for me. One, we had this awesome seminar last week where Rabbi Ira and his wife Gloria came, and 34 people from this congregation received a very special touch from the Lord, very special sharing. At the end, by the way, they said this is one of the best they've ever done, ever. Because he said, honestly, looking at us, said, your people are engaged. They're in it all the way. Which is, I hope, to be a characteristic of our congregation. We are those people that are in it all the way. And because of that, then there were a number of people that shared at the end. So the sharing time went from 4 to 4:30, which was what I had hoped would happen, that they would be done. They were planning to be done at 4, but I wrote tilde 4:30 and share that with them. And then let the Holy Spirit with them decide whether or not we needed, they needed to just cut it off or just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Because when we testify about what God does, it solidifies that. So that took place, but you didn't hear it. This congregation didn't hear it. Also, not everyone was in a position at the time to give a testimony. So this is what we want to do today. We want to give all of you that were in the seminar an opportunity to express anything that the Lord did for you, you know, any component of that is relevant that you'd like to share. It's just as if we're going through a mikvah. We do the same thing. As a people, we say we need to have a mikvah. And then when they come, the first question is, why are you here? And you know, I'm hoping never the answer is because you said so. No, it'd be like God said so and all those things, but we're not really operating like robots because it's, we're programmed to do that, but rather because our heart is programmed to do that. So that'd be part one, part of it. Not everybody here went through the seminar, so because of that, I'd like to hear from you as well. This is the Thanksgiving weekend holiday. And I'm sure there is something, some portion of your life, something that you can give thanks to the Lord. And in order for the people that are watching live stream, which includes John Davis and Michelle, okay, then it's really important that you take the microphone when you speak. If necessary, if you'd rather not come up here, then I can have one of the young or old men help us, whether it's Ryan or Joe or Dan, they can take the microphone to you. But it's important that you speak through the microphone because I've been on the other side, and anything that's said without the microphone, it doesn't go there. The message today is about our gratefulness to the Lord. Those of us in the seminar had double things to be thankful about. But everybody else has an opportunity to be thankful about something, and we'd like to hear from you. So please, let's do that with the mic, please. Please use the mic. Please use the mic. This is not going to go a lengthy amount of time. I have a timer here because we're going to dismiss reasonably early today, so that you can continue your celebration or your time with your family. So with that, it should be us who are first partakers. I said in the introduction for the seminar that I was not coming as just the overseer, that I was coming because I'm always open to whatever the Lord wants to do. I think we're arrogant. We believers are quite arrogant. The opportunities that the Lord comes, and they may not be in your timing. They may not be when you wanted them to be. But he brings opportunities. In our congregation, he's brought lots of opportunities for us to partake in healing. What arrogance of mine would be to say, well, I'm just here to introduce Ira and Gloria and oversee this. I was convicted about that. So I said it with all my heart. Lord, I don't know. I mean, I'm not consciously aware until they started speaking. And when they started speaking, I became very keenly aware of not something from over there, because, you know, we want inner healing from, you know, sometimes we think it's over there. And it was something relatively recent. How did I know that I was reacting? Because I had a long list of things that they read to see if, check them off. And I checked the first three or four, just great. And then this one came over and hit and was like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why am I? I am one of those check marks. And then others came and were related. So I was willing for the Lord to go and heal me. Little did I know what that was, because in a sense I was unaware. I mean, I was aware of that I was having a reaction inside, and I had the reaction under control, but what's the point? Do you want to live all your life with controlling the reaction? No. This reaction is not from the Lord. And I need to recognize what is from God and what isn't. Anything that results in a internal struggle and things like that over the things that involve our families or involve our relationships especially, you know what? It's of God. And so they got done with their list. I was number one to pray the prayer with them. And I received complete peace and healing on that. So much so that my countenance changed. After tears, that I shared those tears with Marilyn and with Sam. And when I share what that was about, just a little bit, enough, you know, enough that that father knew what I was talking about. His eyes watered. I couldn't hardly just stand it. So I want you to know that your rabbi needed a boost, a recharge, and a transmission cleansing. Okay? And I got it. So if it was not for anybody else, it was for me. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I shared the testimony with Rabbi Ira and Gloria and with Marilyn. I'm sharing the general testimony. The specifics are not relevant here. Just that I know that I was healed. And therefore, I could come into the activities of this week, the Thanksgiving activities, with a really thankful heart and an open heart to what the Lord had. And it's been a wonderful, chilling experience. I said, you know, there's all these people in my house. There's dogs and cats and all stuff going on. And I was a happy camper. And I'm a happy camper to be here this morning. Even though we had some difficulties, I'm still a really happy camper. I thought the music that had been picked by the Holy Spirit along, you know, back in, had to be done Sunday because John had to have everything ready. It's Tuesday. So a few days ahead, I thought that the peace on the inside expressed itself as I shared the music. Maybe no one heard it, but I heard it. My soul heard it. And I'm thankful that you chose Psalm 100 because Psalm 100 is the marching orders for worship teams. And we're thankful. I know that you would be too. So for whatever Marilyn was there too, she never testified while she was there. So she can be first. Or share it whatever way.
And I love how the Lord confirms things. And I think it's important to receive those confirmations because it helps us to maintain the healing, the hope, and the deliverance that the Lord brought in our individual lives there. And so I'm going to use my portion of time to share this prophetic word with you from the Lord that was given on that day, not from anyone in this congregation, not from anyone that we know here, but from someone across the globe in Australia. But to know what God is doing. And also the timing of the seminar that was up in the air for a while. And we were just, you know, all the details that happened with that. But we know that the Lord is all about timing. And he's all about identity. In his word, we have been given an identity in him. And the enemy is always trying to steal our identity. He's trying to give us a false identity. And so many of us have lived out our lives through those false identities. And I don't mean it has to be something weird. I mean it has to be something simple like I'm not worthy for God to heal me, or I'm not worthy for God to do this, or you know, whatever it might be, that those little things that really are not little things because they steal who we are in God and what we can allow God to do through us. So because of that, when I saw this, I think it was Monday, it may have even been Tuesday morning, the title of this prophetic word is, I heard the Lord say, do not accept the false cloaks. I am releasing new mantles. So I think you're going to enjoy this. Recently, I heard the Lord speaking to many. Do not accept the false cloaks. I am releasing new mantles in all capital letters. The Lord began to show me that right now the enemy is working hard to lure many into accepting false cloaks that he's trying to put on them. The Lord showed me that these false cloaks were things that did not belong to them. I heard the Lord thundering over these ones, and he declared, in all capital letters, these do not belong to you. The Lord was highlighting the importance of the moment that these ones are in right now, that there is a major shift taking place in the spirit over these ones, meaning his children. There's specific... The young people are specifically being targeted in this season, and I know that you know that. So the Lord is lifting off of them the things that have tried to hold them down, and he is giving them new mantles. The Lord spoke, quote, I am actually delivering you of false cloaks and giving you new mantles. Pay attention, for the enemy is attempting to place the false cloaks upon you. I saw the Lord delivering these ones from the false cloaks of many seasons past, from heaviness to comparison to grief to despair to hopelessness to apology and much, much more. These cloaks were being removed from these ones, and then I saw the battle taking place in the spirit. The enemy was speaking to these ones, and the enemy was saying, "You have not been delivered of these things. They are still heavy upon you and deep within you. You have not been delivered." So where, in fact, deliverance had happened and was happening. The enemy was fighting hard to cause these ones to keep their eyes upon the things and the weight of these false cloaks. But the Lord was calling these ones to lift their eyes up higher and lift their eyes onto him, to see that indeed a mighty deliverance had happened and is happening. And these cloaks were but smoke and mirrors to lure them into a space of despair, heaviness, and to hinder momentum. The Lord then spoke again, quote, "The new mantles I'm releasing are coming with a heavier weight of my glory, and the winds of acceleration are coming with these mantles to usher in greater momentum of my spirit through these ones." The enemy is attempting to hinder the momentum, but as they align with me and my truth and receive my new mantles, they will not be hindered, momentum stalled, and falsely cloaked. I heard the Lord say, "Many are living in the traps of comparison." I then had a vision, and I saw many in the body of Messiah, quote, comparing mantles. And as they were comparing mantles, there was not only a major distraction that they were being lured into, but I watched as cages were being built around them and scrolls were being dropped on the floor all around them. The Lord then said to me, "Comparison is containing. Comparison is containing many. You must look to me and what I have called you to. I am delivering my people deeply from the orphan spirit and the cages of comparison and competition. I am bringing deep healing. I am bringing fire upon comparison in a stronger way than many have felt before." He then began to speak over those who were in comparison. Quote, "It is time to come up higher. It's time to stop having conversations with comparison and come and have conversation with your creator. There has been an elevation of the conversation of comparison over conversation with the creator. Draw close to me and repent for exalting conversations with comparison. Let me embrace you. Let the fire of my love refine, purify, heal, deliver, and bring healing to you. I am bringing swift and strong alignment, for it is time to arise in your sonship like never before, your true identity in me, and pick up your scroll again." Immediately, I knew these scrolls that had been dropped were assignments the Lord had given those ones in this season, and distraction had taken root to lure them away from fulfilling that which God called them to. There was absolutely no condemnation. All I could feel was the love of the Father and his hand bringing strong alignment, healing, and a call to ferocious focus in this hour. There was a call to embrace the fire in a deeper way and a call to position themselves for the receiving of restoration, repositioning to the full assignments he had given them, and also receiving of the new mantles. There was deliverance, healing, alignment, and restoration happening all at once. I could feel so strongly the heart of the Lord positioning these ones to build with him in greater ways than they had ever built with him before, and being drawn into a deeper place of intimacy with him and focus upon him. I heard his voice again, quote, "The deep purifying and alignment must take place right now for them to walk in all that I have for them in this new season." I heard the Lord speaking to these ones, "Dive deep into discernment. Do not take everything at face value. Draw close to me and let me show you what is truly taking place." Again, I could hear the words, "Do not accept the false cloaks." He continued speaking, There is much taking place in the spirit around you, my precious ones, where the enemy is trying to load you up with much that is not yours. There is also my hand bringing alignment, and you will find the answers you need, the clarity to be received, as you ask me, in all capital letters. It's time for ascension, capitalized. I have much to show you. I have much to reveal to you. Cast off distraction. Ask me to show you the false cloaks. Ask me to show you what is yours to carry. Ask me to show you what to pick up. You will be surprised how much smoke and mirrors has been surrounding you. I am thundering over you. Come up higher. Come up higher. And as my voice thunders over you, deliverance is happening, clarity is being concreted, and the greatest alignment in your life is happening right now in the release of these new mantles. Come up, come up, come up. It is time to ascend. Everyone, even if you didn't go to that conference, I'm sure that you have an area in your life where this will speak to, Rabbi.
And if that's you, you can start.
On,
yeah.
Hey, I'm just thankful for God, period. Just throughout my life, he's always been there. Through drug relapses, you know, addictions, he's always there, you know, with open arms ready to receive you. And it's like, if we're not too prideful to just come and bow down before him, weep before him, let him cleanse us, let him heal us, stay around people who love and care about you. And a lot, you know, the enemy will be trying to say, oh, they're going to condemn you, this, that, and you don't speak about it. But it's just like, if you don't open up about the things you struggle with, it's really more intoxicating in your insides. You know, even if somebody does look down upon you, it's like, okay, so what? It's really for me to release it. And to know that my strength and my courage really is in Jesus Christ above all, and it's not in people, but it does help to have loving people around you. And I thank God for this communication or this community of real believers, loving believers, and you know, spirit-filled. Want you to worship how you want to worship. I love that, Marilyn. She always encourages that, and. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy. I'm thankful for his goodness, even when we're bad, even when I'm faithless, he's faithful. And I just give him praise, man. It's just like so much. He's just given me so much confidence in myself. I remember when I first got saved, like the world stripped me. Like I felt so naked and bare, like nobody understood me. I was afraid to talk to anybody, afraid they wouldn't understand me. And, man, I just see throughout, even just over throughout the years, just how much confidence God has given me as far as, like, I'm his son and he's my daddy. You know, it's like it doesn't matter what the world thinks because he thinks the world of me. And it's just like, it's amazing. Like, his love is truly amazing. It's transforming to where you can go up to people that's betrayed you and tell them you forgive them and love them and actually pray for these people. People that stabbed you in the back, beat you down, maybe harassed you, whatever. And it all doesn't matter because you're filled with the love of God. And it takes the people of God and just and seeking God, you know, with your whole heart and being open. And being open to receive his love.
Amen. Someone else? Raise your hand. We'll bring you a microphone. Carly?
I want to say a couple weeks ago, John had already talked to me. He didn't tell me all about restoring the foundations, but he had already talked to me just a little bit, and there's a PDF that you can read up on them. And so I started filling out the PDF had a little free time, fill out a little bit. I'm like, okay, I need to pray, go back and fill out a little bit more. But I hadn't really gone through a seminar like that before. And so I guess I'll also start to say some of my, I've had struggles and I have struggles and I still, but one of the big things that I had always felt like the Lord was really pressing upon me was really having compassion for other people who are not following wholeheartedly or not following at all. I would always get so flustered and just have very low tolerance and very low patience because I'm just like, it's right there. But there was also a time when I didn't see that and I didn't do those things. And so that Thursday beforehand, I had a bit of a situation. I woke up and I felt like I couldn't really move. I felt like I couldn't really breathe and I couldn't really see. And my vision was really, really, really blurry, like significantly blurry. And so I kind of started hyperventilating and started to go into serious panic. And I called Mary Grace Laybaugh, Stephanie and Joe's daughter, and she comes over and Papa and them come over. And it's early in the morning. It's a Thursday. I'm supposed to be up at work at this moment in time. And so they're praying over me, but I can't see. And I'm to go into a moment of you feel like you are blind because the only thing you really can make out is color. That is significant. And so it progresses on. We ambulance, we go to the hospital, all the works, the emergency room. Stephanie says he comes and she sits with me and they're running through the test. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting aggravated because I don't understand. I've eventually calmed down, but I still can't see. And they run, I think the last test, and they say, well, we found extra fluid on the brain. And it looks kind of like this kind of disorder and so forth on, and we're going to give you 2 referrals and a follow-up. So we go home. I won't say unfortunately, but one of the things I've inherited from my parents is that you're sick, you're home now, you go to work the next day. So I rested, and I went to Sissy's house, and they really helped me and loved on me and fed me, and I went home, and I got up, and I went to work the next day. And I realized that my vision was so blurry that I couldn't even see a street sign. I couldn't even see 39th Avenue until I was crossing it. And so I made it into work, pushed through the day, and I really felt like, Lord, this is not what this is supposed to be. I shouldn't be going through this, or why am I going through this, or is it something of my fault, or what did I do, what did I take, what did I, you know, blaming it on everything under the sun. And so I do some research. I change the things I need to so I can see a little bit better. I feel like, oh, you know, maybe it's getting a little bit better, but it's still blurry. And so we push on. We get here at Shabbat. And, of course, you know, heart's heavy, mind's heavy. And you push on. You praise the Lord that you've made it to Shabbat. So we get to the seminar and I did not know that we were going to be looking at a TV screen. I couldn't see the TV screen. And so I was a little bit concerned. Praise the Lord, we had the booklet, but I couldn't read off the TV screen. And as we were reading the scriptures coming around, I'm like, it's going to be a little something when it comes my turn. But right as my maybe turn would have came up, I got up to help for lunch. I was asked to help for lunch. So, okay, well, we push on. And it was great. I felt like a lot of things that they talked about were things that you may have heard of, but you didn't have the equipment and tools to put it in application. When talking about your strongholds, talking about the things that you're, you know, saying that you're going through, that you've gotten from the generation before you, that you've inherited, and how to deal with them, and this is the equipment, how to turn to the Lord. Like, so we got to a point where the exercise, if we had one beforehand, and one of those words that came up of replacing a word of shame or control, that word came, which was compassion. And okay. And of course, you know, we're already crying through the day. And then we get to this exercise where the instruction is for us to go into this place of this memory of when, led by the Holy Spirit, go into this memory and see when you were hurt, something that really needs to be fixed in that trauma that you went through. And then process your feelings. And I was molested for a very long time in my life. And I went to a place where I felt like my family should have seen me the most, but nobody saw or no one did anything. And I decided to kneel down in this chair. And so I was on my knees and I'm in this chair and we're in this place. And then we go to the next step of feel every emotion and tap, though, get in touch with those emotions that you felt in that moment. And so I was already boohoo crying. Because there is, as they say, that inner child that needs to be healed, and that needs to be held, and they need to know that they're loved and that they're worthy and that they belong to God. And so the next step is to cry out before the Lord. Cry out to him in that place, for he hears you. And invite Yeshua into that memory. And I felt like I was laying in his lap as I cried out as an 8-year-old child in a house that a mother that doesn't know how to take care of us, did all that she can but stricken on drugs, a father that's now in a wheelchair, grandparents that are raising 4 and 5 other children in a 2-bedroom house, it's 8 of us. Eight of us. And I stood there for a long, I sat there for a long time. Sorry. And in that place, we zoomed through time of going through so many memories. And I was still there in his lap. And he reassured me that I did not know him, but he has been waiting for me. That I am his, and I am made in his image. And that even though so many have hurt me, and they've left me, and they cannot fix me, that he can, and he can comfort me. He is the ultimate. And when I got up, you know, you wipe your eyes, you figure you can't really see, it's a little blurry, your eyes are red. And when I tell you that room was as clear as day, I could see every bit of the screen and every bit of face. And one of the things God revealed to me is that we think the scales on people's eyes is pitch blackness, it's blurry. Because when the scales get removed from our eyes, we are able to turn back and recognize when the Lord was in the room or when he was moving on our behalf, because it now becomes clear. There was so much healed and touched that, you know, you really didn't know it needed to be touched. So praise the Lord. That God was so good. Amen.
Next. Dan, your dad.
I love this guy. I call them workshops because I go to workshops at work all the time. But it was a workshop. But I was praying beforehand, and I felt in the spirit there would be a lot of deliverance. And that was a blessing. And I was asking myself, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And I want to walk closer to the Lord. That was my thing. It just kept coming to me. I want to walk closer. I want to be closer. And so during the workshop and the things that we did, I felt freedom. And that's the word that kept coming back to me when we did these little things. And then we'd ask the Lord, you know, to visit those thoughts, so to speak. And it was always freedom first, and then there was other things that would come to me. So I left, and I thought, this was great, and what a blessing. And then things got worse when I got home. I felt more distant from the Lord, and I went through a couple days. I do a lot of pray walking. My praying I do mostly when I walk. And so I was wondering, Lord, what's going on here? What I realized was that, and I believe he was sharing this with me, you know, sometimes his voice is so small, you think it's yourself. And then it may take a while when you look back and you say, no, that wasn't my thought. And he said, are you going to believe me? Do you believe me? Basically, yeah. Do you believe me? In other words, do I have faith that what I asked for is going to happen? Or am I looking at the result immediately? So that was it. It was, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't receive healing. You can't receive anything. And that's what he's been showing me, that am I going to believe feeling, or am I going to believe his word and what he says? And so that's the blessing that I got, was that my focus needs to be on either what he told me or his word. And when I say what he told me, that I know he promised something and that he will come through with it. Well, that was it.
Amen. Anyone else? Next? Joe?
So much. Anyway, I wasn't really prepared to, you know, to talk, but at the same time, God's got his words in you, so he said, don't worry about what you're going to say, just go ahead and do it. So, but I've, you know, my age, you've been through a lot. I've been through about five or six ministries, including RTF. It was about 7 years ago, and I got to witness John going through. He was the guinea pig, but he got freedom, he got release, and I forgot what he did with me, but it definitely touched me for sure. And this one was different for me. I mean, I've been through being health, I've been through caring for the heart, I've been ministered through, you know, different people praying and stuff. So this one, I was asking the Lord what, you know, I've been through it, and they're covering the categories. So I did a shotgun approach. So that what they had is, my father died when I was 7, and they were separated before that. And so I have no, and I don't know, my grandfather, I found his obituary, and he was a member of the Masons. And so I knew, so I've dealt with that in the past. So there were some things, but I don't know. So, you know, when you're going through it and you got people guiding you and you go through the questions and you go through your emotions and what you feel, and then you see what your father did or whatever, I have no idea of what I've inherited. But definitely I got some garbage in there, you know. So when we were casting out things, we were mentioning things, I did every single one. I said, because God doesn't get embarrassed. He's not going to say, oh, you didn't need that one. You know what I mean? So I covered the bases. So I said every one of those things that come up, and I said, and some of them were more stronger than others. But I just did each one. We said cast it, named it, and cast it out. You know, the categories and stuff. We deal with shame, because shame's been a big part, I think, in my life. And you know, from little things that happened, abuse and different things that happened when I was younger. And I've had opportunity. But this time, so I went through all that. And I'm looking, and I said, but I didn't really feel. But what I felt, what I came away with, was peace. If you ever have your mind in turmoil, if you, you know, you go wishy-washy, but it, I got direction. I felt that I was on the right track with some things, and there's some things I needed to be, like speaking in tongues, and there's some things I know that I can get closer with him, and he can download more. If I want more, this is some of the things I need to do. But overall, I mean, I can't, you have to be there. And just like I was saying, you got to have faith. No matter what ministry it is, you got to be willing to change. You got to get to a part, you get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. And give up yourself. And then you can receive. But as long as you got, you know, the verse that always comes to mind is that a curse causeless cannot land. Proverbs, but it's true. If you're in agreement with the Satan, sometimes you don't even know, you know, and it could be generational, that they did something they were in agreement with, and it's passed down, you know, like anger or any of those things that can pass down. But if you're in agreement with them, then you gave him permission, and he can't do anything without permission, whether it's God's permission or yours. And usually it's ours, but sometimes there are, you know, inherited things from our past that we don't know. So like when I did it this time, it was kind of a shotgun thing, because I don't know about my dad from this, but I know they were separated. I think they were divorced. I don't know. Don't know anything about and then my father was diabetic. Yeah, he was diabetic. I had to think about it. But he didn't, and my grandmother was a nurse. But I learned later from one of the family members that he would use that, say, I don't feel well today. I don't want to go to school. She said, okay, you don't have to go. But she, you know, so he used that control. You know, went good, and then he died of diabetes. I remember one of the things that really impacted me was we went to visit him in the hospital, and he got blind at that point, and so he couldn't see us. So he would go, you know, it's hard to tell, but anyway, but he would say, you know, by height, he could see all three of us, and so he knew me, and then I was able to, you know, six, I could at least write my name. So I write my name on his hand, so I knew who it was. And then that time, my mom said, you know, you won't see him again. So this last RTF, that RTF that we went to 7 years ago, God gave me release from that. I don't remember all the details. You know, you go through it at the time, but I got the freedom from it. I still have the memory, but I had the freedom. I don't have that bondage that I got to please, you know what I mean? So this one, I kind of did the shotgun thing, because there was a lot of things I don't know, but it sure don't hurt to mention them, right? Because God don't care. If it's right, then he'll fix it. And if it's not, so what? So anyway, that was what I did this time. And I feel that he gave me a lot of direction and some things I need to work on still with my honey there. I'm always short on things, but not always short. Sometimes I'm better than other times. But anyway, that's my story. I'll stick to it.
Amen. So, in the back, if Stephanie or Rebecca or TJ that were at the seminar, any of you? In the sound booth, Gene or Sam?
I wasn't there, but I can tell you that God has done a work in my life that is incredible, because he started this process with me years ago. I got saved when I was 16, and I was severely abused as a child, raped, as well as mom beat me on a regular basis, tried to shoot me with a gun once, tried to stab me with a knife once. And this theme went throughout my life until I finally got saved at 16 years old. And at 16 years old, that was like a miraculous thing that God said, you do not, for the first time I heard that I was worthy and that it wasn't normal for people to treat you like this. And anyway, long life short, let's just say that God took me through this whole process, like everybody's been sharing, about rejecting the family curses that had been placed on my life. The things that my mother used to speak over me were horrible. And just rejecting all those comments that used to go through my head over and over and over again. And not only that, but other things that I had to go through and release impartation that had been imparted to me from men through rape and other instances. And those things weren't easy to cast off. And this whole process I only share with you because I also married a man that I had met in the church, believe it or not. And he he was an addict, and he ended up, after 33 years of marriage and three children later, leaving me and divorcing me. I had done nothing to warrant the divorce, although he had had multiple affairs and he had fallen off the wagon in yet another affair, which lured him completely away from the family to the other side of the United States. And so I only say that I was devastated, and I had gone through this whole process of forgiveness. The Lord took me to this place where I had to release him into the freedom of my forgiveness. And through releasing all these things to the Lord, the restoration was so great that God has restored every single thing that the enemy has taken away from me. He has restored not only, he has blessed me with a husband that is the man of my dreams. I mean, and God knows I have a passion for the mission field, and I've spent a lot of time on the mission field. And God blessed me with a husband that speaks 5 different languages. Only God could do that, okay? And he also is a great provider. My husband of 33 years never provided for me, ever. And this husband has actually a great job, and he's been a provider for me. So every single thing that Satan tried to rob me of, the Lord, having walked me through this process of restoration over the last several years of my life, has completely healed me. And it was really neat, because this healing seminar that I went to, it was similar to what you guys had here, and through another ministry, which I've shared with you before, Marilyn. And the thing that the Lord showed me through a prophet there was that when I came, I was like a cracked pot. And everything that the Lord kept pouring into me, it just kept seeping out, because I had so many wounds. And what the Lord did to me in that seminar was he sealed up all the cracks. And it was like what I saw in the spirit was, it was like this gold glue that he just took this cracked pot and he sealed all these cracks. And then when he poured the water of his spirit in me, instead of seeping out, it overflowed. And it gave me a better way to overflow into others' lives. And what has happened is I use my house for a rental. God has brought me people from all over the world, literally from Egypt, from Iran, from China, from all over the world. I get internationals all the time. The last lady that just left was from Ukraine. And, you know, these people stay in my home. I minister to them, and they receive it. And it's like, oh my gosh, I just never know who God's going to bring me. And even just this last Thanksgiving, one of the boys from India that stayed in my home for about 4 months when he first came to Gainesville as a student at University of Florida, it was during the pandemic, and his father picked me because I was a nurse and I had an Airbnb at the time. And this boy from India still comes to my home every Thanksgiving. He's been separated from his family now for 3 years. He hasn't been able to get back to India. And he comes to my home yesterday and he says, Jean, I need you to pray with me for my mom. You know, and I've been not the best mom to him since he's been here, but I've tried to be a mom to this young man since he's been here. And so we prayed for his mom together and a way for him to be able to see her because she's not doing well in India. But it's just so cool how only God could do that. And as you go through these processes of healing, he completely, it's so true what the Bible says, I will restore that the enemy has stolen. He has restored back to my life above and beyond that which the enemy has stolen. So I just wanted to share that as thankfulness to my life. And many of you have seen this process in me. So,
TJ, we bring it to you. Sorry.
So, you know, we just returned from Idaho, which meant we got a chance to spend some time with my parents. And my dad is a remarkable person. If you ever saw him, you would know who he was immediately. He is incredibly distinct. He was born in 1939. As a grown man, he was 6'8". He had black hair, olive eyes, darker skin. He's striking. He also has a large port wine stain on his face, which makes him stand out even more. As a child, I never saw that. I was in the fourth grade before one of my friends said, "What's it on your dad's face?" I'm like, "I don't know. What is it?" She's like, "It's red." I'm like, "What?" So I went home and I looked at my dad, and I'm like, sure enough, he's got a big red stain on his face. That's all background. So we were talking about the spirits that affect our lives, places where we can see it. And one of the things that stood out to me was fear. Not my fear, but fear coming down. And we were talking about ancestral impacts. And it took me to my dad. Born in 1939, his father was not home when he was born. His father was, I can't even tell you where he was at the time. It would, you know, they have obscured the facts about why he was not home. So it's hard for me to say. 39 would be too early for what I know happened afterwards. What happened after that was he was in the Corps of Engineers. He was, his father was sent to Persia. He built railroads there. So he was there during the war effort doing that. You know, as a boy, he probably had figured out, well, first of all, he knew his father wasn't home. He would have figured out that his father was overseas. He probably maybe wouldn't have known, but as he aged, he probably was like, well, why wasn't he here, right, when I was first born? All of that. I think he was afraid he was illegitimate. So, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or so, he asked me if I knew when his parents married, because they never celebrated their anniversary. Not once, which probably fed into his fear of being illegitimate. I said, Dad, I don't know when they would have been married the first time, but I've seen their marriage certificate because I was doing this genealogical research. They got married in 1942 in Missouri in a place called Neosho, which was where this, they had built an army base for the Signal Corps, but the Signal Corps never came and resided there. It was some other function of the army that was there, which would make perfect sense. So I'm sure that fed in more of cementing for him, oh, they weren't even married when I was born in 1939. You know, and so he's lived his whole life feeling like he was the second, oh, the other part of it was, my grandmother used to tell a story. People would say, ask her why he had the stain on his face, and she said, I was so worried when I was pregnant. I rubbed my stomach all the time because I was worried. That doesn't even make any sense. Why does a person do that? But anyway, there you go. So that's her explanation for why he has it. So that tells you where the Holy Spirit took me, was to his fear of not having a father, not being whatever legitimate means in his mind. I mean, they were clearly a couple. They were clearly devoted to each other. They lived in an area of Idaho that is very remote. It's at the, many people know where Jackson Hole is. It's just down the slope from Jackson Hole. It's in a place called Driggs. Maybe they were married in Driggs, but not married everywhere. It would be hard to say because that's an area of the country where there's not a lot of government. At any rate, I was able to, on his behalf, look backwards and say, that fear does not define who you are. It doesn't define who I am. And I guess I've always known that, whatever those facts were that came out, it never defined who I was. And it cemented for me, when I've been pressed into battle with the spirits and had to fight off the evil one, I have been able to call out and say, you cannot harm me. I am a child of God. You Amen. Have no authority over me. You cannot harm me because you know who I belong to. So that was the process that I went through when we were there. And it just connected a lot of dots for me. It was really, really good. So praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else in the back or anywhere? Any of our visitors would like to give thanks to the Lord for any reason? Okay. Well, let's stand. That's only a sampling of what took place. Just a sampling. There were 34 people there with 34 stories. Something you said, Joe, you went 7 years ago. So did I. So did we. We were all four there together with our families. Part of your family, part of my family was there. I'd like to leave you with the following thought. Rebuke. That feeling that ever comes on you to say, I don't need that. Let me say that again. We need as a congregation, as believers, to rebuke any thought that comes in that says, well, I don't need that. I don't need that. I got it. Because in those areas where we think we got it, it's areas that we can be actually trapped and not even know it. It goes to say, some of the ones that spoke are leaders here. And tell you what, I didn't have it all together. And but I knew that it's right because in a passage of time, I've read there are scriptures that I've read hundreds of times. I could quote them to you. I could sing them to you. I could say them in Hebrew and in English and in Spanish. And yet, on a given day, I'd be reading that scripture and the Holy Spirit just downloads something I had not thought about before. We call that a rhema. A rhema from the Lord is when he activates a scripture that maybe you're even familiar with. Maybe that's a scripture in your wall. You see it every day, and yeah, you know what it means. And then that day, just something happens. Seize the opportunities that God gives us in his walk and among us to grow. I'm not through growing in the Lord. I'm through growing this way, but I'm not through growing in the Lord. And we can grow like even, you know, you'd say what Dan is, he has a long history of he ministers, he does all those things, and yet he shared with us, another leader that shares with us, the Lord had something for me. That is, it's impactful in my walk. So he's probably going to walk around praying a little different, just a little different. And so I encourage the rest of you to, as we go forward from this weekend, to be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Be open. Be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's no respecter of persons, whether he picks on the guy on top or the one who thinks of themselves as the least in the kingdom of heaven. He has everything for all of us here. I think that since this format is conducive to be able to bring it multiple times, it's conducive. We can do this. It's on a Sunday. You can do it. We can do it. They can do it. So maybe in the spring, late spring, early summer, we can talk him into coming back here again. And if there's something that you're not comfortable sharing publicly, share privately. You talk with one another, give it a good report. And if it's not a good report, give it a bad report. Just give it a report. Because I believe that this was ordained by the Lord. And I for sure was a recipient of it. I'd like my congregation to be a recipient of it. First partaker. the prophecy you share is very valuable because he really does desire to give us a new garment, a new mantle. He wants to get us in a deeper way, and we have to fight this idea that, you know, that we really know better. I think he knows better. But you've got to be willing. I can't make you. They say you can't force the horse to drink water, and then someone said, well, you can give him salt and he'll get thirsty. So what we're testifying about is hopefully that you realize that there's some areas that you could also be brought to a different level. What I can say is kind of like what Gene said. If you only knew the peace, if you only, you know, if I could articulate with my voice what those times have been and continue to be, I'm not graduated yet. So when the Lord, you know, I'm not retired, I'm ready to be upgraded. And so as a congregation, we are in an upgrade process. Let the Lord upgrade us, upgrade our operating system. And then every once in a while, you may need a little tweak here and there. You mostly got it together. I agree that we need to be self-assured that we're in the Lord and we can do these things. But a little tweaky here and there might actually make it much more fun. As a result, then, we are thankful to you, Adonai, for all that you've done for every single person that's here today, all you've done for our congregation, Lord, all you've done for the cases that needed special attention, which I include myself in those. And thank you for arranging that. Thank you for using John Davis to be a catalyst in doing this. Thank you, John, if you're watching online. And we bless you in your work in your special time in Dallas. And we bless you to return back as fast as you got there. And I don't think you flew. So thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you to Ryan for your obedient to the Lord. Your quick response to the Lord speaks to your father's quick response to the Lord. And I bless you in your quick response, Ryan. We love you. I love every single one of you. And those of you that don't know, I love you too. Let me dismiss you with a Aaronic benediction and continue your awesome weekend with your family and on this time.